tonight's study is called The Great Tribulation Period is Still God's Mercy at Work. A lot of people have an idea that the tribulation is this wrathful God sitting in heaven, throwing down his lightning bolts at all of these evil human beings, and that it's nothing but a period of wrath. And they don't want to deal with how in Revelation 7, there are white-robed martyrs in the fifth seal. And during the sixth seal in Revelation 8, there are white-robed martyrs. There are many who will not take the mark of the Antichrist 666. There will be many human beings, including Israel, when national Israel has their eyes opened, that Christ is the Messiah, that will have their eyes opened during this seven-year Great Tribulation period. The last three feast days, you know, Jesus said that, look out, the fields are ripe for harvest. He's talking about the Feast of Pentecost, which would bring in the wheat and the barley harvest that started right there on the Feast of Pentecost, and all the way through it went until the fall feast days when the wheat was taken in, and then finally the wine comes in. That's what tribulation means. It literally means the pressing of the grapes. And there's different things that come into God's harvest in the last three Jewish feast days. Remember, Christ died on the Passover. The unleavened bread, he was in the grave. The third Jewish feast day, the first fruits, came out of the grave. The 50th day after the Feast of First Fruits is the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost landed, fell, talking in tongues and fire, and the church age began. All the time, God is trying to reap people in. The next feast day we're in for is the trumpets, where the church is taken out. The false church is left in the Great Tribulation period. All of the denominations are left in the tribulation period. All of the great institutions of religion are left in the tribulation period. And they form to help the Antichrist make the false peace. And the false peace is broken when Russia finally comes in. And that's what starts the whole great big thing. We know that's the red horse in Revelation 6. That's the war. We've been teaching on this for the last few weeks. That's the war that comes in. The war brings famine. The famine, you know, finally we're going to end up, the white horse starts it, which is the false peace, the seven-year agreement, peace in our time. Everyone's aboard. The big six are aboard. NATO's aboard. You know, the Islamic nations are aboard. Israel gets its temple right next to the Mosque of Omar and the Temple Mount. Palestinians are satisfied. Hamas, Hezbollah, all the political groups look like everything's going all right. That's the false peace, the white horse that rides in Revelation 6. Then the red horse rides, which is war, which takes it away. And then with war comes the famine, and with famine comes the pale horse, which is death with hell, Hades. The nuclear fallout. One-fourth of the world dies in Revelation 6. We estimated it to be close to 1,800,000,000 people. If you take every single solitary person in the United States of America and multiply it by four, you'll get an idea of how many people will die within the first war of the Great Tribulation period. It's truly a horrible period. We also showed in Revelation 6, that's the first great earthquake that's mentioned in Ezekiel 38. There are two great earthquakes in the Old Testament that are mentioned. One will be at the Battle of Armageddon. One is at Ezekiel 38. There are five great earthquakes in the book of Revelation. Something has to break away the mountains so the Jews can flee in to the areas that the Antichrist can't touch. Down there by Petra in Moab, Ammon, and Old Edom, the Antichrist cannot touch those three areas in the Great Tribulation period. And the Jews will be hidden. That's why Matthew 24:15 says right out, when you see what Daniel says, and then he that's in Judea, flee. Don't look back. Don't go up and get another coat. Well, how can they get out? They've got to get out through that one earthquake in Revelation 11 that opens up that Judean area where they'll go down and be hid. So these little old ladies and these people that are suckling babies will hide out for 3.5 years. We showed how the Antichrist on his southern campaign, when Russia comes in and attacks with Iran and Turkey, the southern alliance with Libya, Ethiopia, that area below Egypt, doesn't get there. So when the Antichrist comes in, he goes there first, and Egypt doesn't like it, so he goes against Egypt. And then when he comes into Israel, he breaks the peace covenant. Says, enough of this. And that's when the Jews are told to flee. But there's already been an earthquake when the two prophets were taken out and killed. And that earthquake opened up the Judea area so that these old Jews and these people can get out of there. That's where we're at now, right? And I've gone into detail about it. I will go into more detail in Scripture concerning the five earthquakes of the book of Revelation. Remember, the preterists don't deal with that. All these amillennialists, all these Baptists and Calvinists, they don't want to tell you about the book of Revelation. Remember, Luther hated the book of Revelation. Calvin hated the book of Revelation. Luther did not want it in the Bible. And these preterists try to tell you that it all happened by 70 AD, and it all happened under Nero, and Nero was 666. But they never deal with the five earthquakes, and they never deal with the amount of people that are killed in this area that the Bible so vividly expresses. It says in Revelation 6, one quarter are killed. So, and there's more later. That's only the beginning. That's that first war. Okay. We got John 1, the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 10. Chris?
Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that he might live through him.
This is the love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's verse 10, right? Okay. Well, Chris said there in verse 8, God is love. Let's all say that together. God is love. The Great Tribulation period, let's look at it like a horrible tumor. Let's look at it like a human being who has a chance to get some kind of chemo and cancer taken out. Let's look at it as an infected area that needs to be cut out. God needs to bind the devil and throw him in this bottomless pit, and he wants to get rid of all that party with the devil and all the institutions that have formed that block the love of God. So the tribulation period is not God sitting there with huge frowns against everybody. It's still God trying to save and bring as many people into his kingdom as possible. Why? Because God is love. God loves every human being. He hates the sin, but he died on Calvary for the sins of the world. And we're here like Abraham before Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there be 50... spare it. No answer. Lord, if there be 40. Finally, we know he gets to 10. And he can't go further because he would be into his own family. He would be into Lot's very family. And God would have done it. And that's why Peter says, you know, count the long-suffering of our Lord. Because Christ does not want any to perish. He wants to reach the lowest, rottenest sinner, because his blood is stronger than the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. His power, his blood. And we don't know who's going to be there and who's not. But we do know, as part of the church that's here, we're with Abraham. Lord, help my daughter. Lord, help my family. Lord, help my friends. We're supposed to carry a burden and be in Christ. The devil has two things. First, he wants to take you to hell. If he can't do that because your name's in the book of life, he wants to make you ineffectual. He wants to cripple you. He wants you neurotic and always dealing with your own problems and never able to help anybody else, so that Christ in you can shine in a lost generation. I talked to somebody last night, and I told him what Mary had said, that even the cities seem to be getting darker. And it's not a darkness from the arc lights going off early or being dimmed. Mm-hmm. It's almost a look about it, that Satan's coming down in great number, and there's a darkness in the world.
Amen.
You can feel it. It's different than it was 40 years ago. There's a confusion and a coldness and a darkness, and people do everything to cover it up. They use pleasure, and they use drugs, and they use money, and they use power. They try to do everything they can do to cover up, because there's something wrong in the air. And what it is that we're getting ready for this great tribulation to come in. And the Bible said it's going to come on awares. Peace and safety, the Antichrist is going to look so good. Oh, yeah, we're settling down in the Middle East, and we're settling down in Russia, and everyone's aboard, and Russia signed on, China signed on, huh? And then the Bible said sudden destruction. And it says the strong delusion is that they accept this Antichrist, where the church knows better. The church knows there's no political solution. There's no ideological solution. The world is heading for World War III. Now, here's the second part of it. Michelle, you've got Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22. Nice and loud, please.
For that will be a time of greater horror than anything the world has ever seen or will ever see again. In fact, unless that time of calamity is shortened, by the entire human race will be destroyed, but it will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen ones.
What did her scripture say? The entire human race. Who shortens it? The Republicans, the Democrats, some ideology, some new Martin Luther King. Who shortens it? Love shortens it. It's, don't look at the tribulation period. It's the culmination of man's own evil from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember the cities of man? Remember the cities of Cain? Nod. The first weapons came in and were revealed. And the art of swords and the art of weapons was given to the descendants of Cain. When man ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she reached for genocide. She reached for a nuclear weapon, a biological weapon. Because the tree of knowledge of good and evil has no ethics. Man's already used Tuajima. He's already done it, no matter you call it good or evil. We've got great stockpiles. We've got the capacity for genocide, right? So we need to understand that God himself will shorten these days. Why? For the elect's sake. For those Jewish people that are coming out, and all of these other people that are going to give their lives during this period, who know they can't go to any church. The church, the true church is taken out and raptured out. The true church has heard the trumpet and is taken out. Everything that's left are these cold denominations, Laodicean. They've been spit out of God's mouth. They're nothing but religion. Caricatures. They're nothing but institutions with religious robes that preach the same thing the world preaches. They marry men with men and women with women. They accept sin. They don't tell people to quit fornicating and get right with Christ. They don't have a standard to tell people the Word of God, what the Word of God says. We don't condemn anybody. We treat everybody with love. But we know what the Bible has to say about Romans 1 and morality and how we're supposed to fight and strive to enter into the kingdom. Not, but we need to understand their weakness. You know, we got to marry them. They're in love. I mean, it's insane what people come up with because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God. This study is important as an overview of the book of Revelation showing God's mercy always at work in his grand, loving plan coming to pass, even in very horrible times. Think of a doctor cutting away infected flesh or removing a tumor. It is very easy to make God look like a big bully and angry at everyone and deciding to destroy the earth and mankind rather than a loving God getting rid of bad things, blocking things that are bad, getting rid of those things, not allowing love to flourish. So we need to understand that. Genesis 1, 26. You start there, David.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
I and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. I keep on?
Yep.
Okay.
John 2:31.
Oh, 31. And to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Okay, here's the sixth day. It always ends every day. In the beginning was God, and God created the heavens and the earth. And he goes down 6 days, and it always says, and there was evening, and there was morning. And then it says, and it was very good. So we know the material world is good, not bad. Genesis 2, verses 1 and 2, 1 through 3.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation.
Okay, important reality. God creates the heavens and the earth. He calls it the morning and the evening. There is no morning and evening on the seventh day. The seventh day becomes hallowed. It becomes a Sabbath. We are in the tribulation period, is going to bring in the Day of Atonement, the last three Jewish feast days, which are right next to one another. And by the Jews, every year they had to appear three times to Jerusalem. That's why when you read the Gospels, it's Christ coming to the feast days. The first three, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits. And then he would come back down for Pentecost, and then he would come back from his northern area where he lived in the Galilee to the last three feast days, which is the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement with Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These three feast days are meant to bring in God's kingdom, everlasting righteousness. Because when Christ died on Calvary, he was the Passover. When Christ was in the grave, he was the unleavened bread. When Christ came out of the grave, he was the first fruits of them that rose in the kingdom of God, alive forevermore. Christ came back on the Feast of Pentecost, with the 50th day after, which is the exact day in Exodus 19 and 20 that Moses received the law. The ancient Jews celebrate that feast day as the day Moses received the law. Christians, we understand it was when the law was written on our hearts and we received the Holy Spirit. The next three feast days have not yet happened because we're still in the church age. And the church age has to end. And when it ends with trumpets, we're immediately in the tribulation period in Revelation 6. So we're pressed against these two eras, these epics, these these dispensations. We're having the ending of the dispensation of grace, and we're seeing over it a little with Israel united over there, with nuclear weapons, with ISIS, with terrorist groups that would use a nuclear bomb in 2 seconds if they had one. We're seeing the world in a time of sorrows. We're feeling all this confusion. And knowledge is greatly increased, and we can see anything on the internet, and it's right there. Happens 1 minute, and a minute later, it's there for all to see. We're looking over at the coming tribulation. More and more scientists constantly look at it and say, come on up here to the North Pole and see the ice caps. See what China is trying to do and trying to have new trading routes along with Russia. And they're wrestling for these areas to have new shipping areas so they don't have to go all the way to the, you know, the Gulf of Suez. It's happening. There is a global warming. It's going to happen. Things are happening. Even if there's all kinds of us asleep and the devil's got the violins out and saying it's not, it is. It really is happening.
Yeah.
So in Genesis here, God made everything good, but in the seventh day, in Genesis 2, there is no morning and evening. And then in 1 Peter, God tells us that a day of the Lord is like 1,000 years. When man started, at this time, when you look back and you go through any of the genealogies biblically, you always come to approximately 7,000 years. And if we go into the Jewish calendar, which is 360 days, we're still closer to coming of the 7,000-year period. The great millennial period is this day of rest for the earth, where there is, so to speak, no night, because the knowledge of God will be from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there will be a time of incredible peace. But in order for God to bring this time of peace, he brings the tribulation. There are over 7,000 walls in the United States of America for dams. 7,000 dams that keep the salmon runs and cause all kinds of situations. When you see the tribulation, buildings fall. Walls are come down. Dams are coming down. The very topography of the earth is going to drastically change, so that he gets ready for this 1,000 years of peace. But in order to get this 1,000 years of peace, he's got to get rid of major population, all kinds of sinners, those that have partied with the devil. All that's got to go. The number seven. The number seven is one of the most significant numbers in the Holy Bible. When man began to analyze and combine numbers, he developed other interesting symbols. He took the perfect word number four and added it to the perfect divine number three and got seven. In the book of Revelation, the number seven is used throughout. There are seven churches, seven spirits, seven stars, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven vials, seven personages, seven dooms, seven new things, seven symbols. Spiritual perfection. All of the resolves around this number seven is used over 700 times in the Bible. It is used 54 times in the book of Revelation. What I'm trying to show is that I can talk, and we're going to go into depth on how Russia comes in and attacks Israel, where the Antichrist goes, what's taken out, populations that are dying, all the rest of it. But this is very important to understand. The book of Revelation has a much deeper meaning. Seven is the perfect number. God created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. He completed his work. That's also the years the word used for rest. He completed his work. The seventh day is this great millennial period that will come after this great tribulation period. And God is getting ready to bring in the seventh millennium. 54 times alone in the book of Revelation. There are seven Jewish feast days. Seven times 70, Jesus said, sins are to be forgiven. 7 days in a week. The Sabbath is a day of rest. Seven is a constant, reoccurring theme in the Bible. The word finish is also connected with the number seven. In Revelation 10:7, we read, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. It is done is another expression found in connection with the number seven. And the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Revelation 16:17. The word created is used seven times in connection with God's creative work. Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1-21, Genesis 1:27. God created all things in the beginning and then took 6 days of restoring his creation and then rested on the seventh day. So when we see the Sabbath and we understand that the seventh Jewish feast day is the millennial period when the tribulation has ended and now the earth will bring back its fruit. A huge amount of the population of the earth is gone. Well over two-thirds of the earth is already gone as far as human beings are concerned. The walls, the buildings, the institutions, the false churches, and Israel will rise to give out the law from Jerusalem. And around its huge temple, there'll be all kinds of big restaurants to serve people that have to come to Feast of keep the Feast of Tabernacles once a year. Embassies from every nation will end up going to Israel. But it's God completing his plan. There are seven notes in a musical scale. All other pitches, only variations of these. Noah took the clean beasts in the ark by seven. 7 days after Noah went into the ark, the flood came. Peter tells about the long-suffering of God waiting in the days of Noah. These 7 days completed God's time of waiting. It's all happening in this great tribulation period. Before Aaron and his sons entered their priestly work, they were consecrated 7 days. Leviticus 8:31-36. Here's a picture of a life completely or wholly consecrated by the dedication to the Lord for service. As we come to the 7,000th year of man, into this period after 6,000 years, we come in to this period of time, we're coming into this millennial period. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat seven times. This is a picture of the completeness of the redemptive work of Christ. By his own blood, he entered in only into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When Christ offered himself that finished the sacrificial offerings, they were ended. No longer must we place sacrifice upon an altar. When Israel took the city of Jericho, God told them to march around the city seven times. Thus, on the seventh day, when they marched around the city seven times, the walls came down. The tribulation period brings in this incredible seventh period. There were seven Jewish feast days: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, Atonement, Trumpets, and Tabernacles. Leviticus 23:1-44. There are seven branches in the candlestick in the holy place in the tabernacle, which is there in Revelation 1, the church. Solomon was 7 years old in building the temple, and took 7 years to build the temple. He kept the seven feast days and the Feast of Tabernacle, which is the dedication of the temple, which will be the great dedication of the millennial temple. Seven times in the book of Revelation, blessing the Lord are promised to his people. These are called the Beatitudes of Revelation. They are found in chapters 1, 3, 14, 13, 16, 15, 19, 9, 26, 22, 7, and 14. There are seven dispensations, many say: innocence, conscience, government, patriarch, law, grace, which we're in, and then the millennial age, which is the seventh, which we're coming to. We're ending the dispensation of the church, and we're coming in to the tribulation, which is before the 7,000-year period, and then God's work is completed. 70 weeks in Daniel 9 are given to get Jerusalem completely cleaned up in the people of Israel, right? I talked about that last few studies. It's on tape a bunch of time. So we need to understand that the Sabbath is the seventh and that this coming period of peace that's going to come is the seventh. Okay. The seventh time Noah's name occurs, his word is said, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Seven is found 735 times in the Bible. Sevenfold is mentioned six times, and seventh is found 119 times. So there's a completeness that comes with all of this. The Antichrist will defeat the rest of the alliance of Ezekiel 38, then turn against Israel, and it will happen. Matthew 24, 16, 21, when we start the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, where Israel has her eyes opened again to Jesus as the glorified Messiah, the new dispensation begins. This time of peace, the dispensation of fullness. We're in the dispensation where the Gentiles are called out, where the tents of Japheth can go into the tents of Shem. And as we end the church age with the trumpets, everything has to be cleansed in order to bring in the great tribulation. It has to bring things out. Okay, there are a couple of very important details that some of us have failed to recognize concerning the seventh day. One of them is there is no evening and morning. Everybody just goes over that. And we understand it's because the knowledge of God will be the light of the world throughout the entire world. There is no darkness. Now, the seven Jewish feast days. We know that the last three have not yet happened. We know the rapture has not happened, which is Christ calling his people through the trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15:51, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Revelation 4:1. That's the three times where the trumpet blows. He calls the church to the ether, into the air. The white robe martyrs are killed on the earth. Those that are left in the tribulation are not killed in a church. They're killed as individuals. Remember Dean trying to say he's going to preach to them? There ain't no preaching to nobody at that particular time. It's nuclear fallout. It's the bombs away. It's everything happening. It's horrible famine from these nuclear weapons. Remember where I talked on the earthquake in Japan? How it actually had the tsunami go 133 feet, and it threw off the earth on its axis from 4 to 10 inches, and that the earthquake alone in Revelation 6 goes throughout the entire world. And when the Antichrist, because Israel has weapons and others, and they're going to bomb that Russian army. Remember, Chris asked the question, well, why doesn't God do it differently? Well, look at the Bible. When Babylon attacked Media Persia, it was armies. When Job's stuff was taken away, he brought in the Babylonians, and he brought in the Chaldean tribes, and he brought in natural situations, right? The wars that you see in the Old Testament that God prophesied about, they still were God using actual people from Syria or from other to discipline Israel. Mm-hmm. So the tribulation, if we want to sit there and think that it's only the wrath of God, then we're going to be under that, throwing lightning bolts like Zeus. Mm-hmm. We're still under Greek philosophy. We're still looking at God as if he's the great ogre, the great bully, the great one who none of this, none of that, you've been sexy, and he's going to throw everything down on mankind. Don't look at the tribulation like that. Look at it as if these days were not short and no flesh would be saved. Who stops the tribulation period? Christ stops it because he loves mankind. That means what man is doing is he's taking what he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did he warn them? Eat everything in the garden. Eat it. Go ahead. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. And what did she do? Ate, brought it over. Said, have a bite. Brought it down to Duke's. You know? I mean, what I'm saying is that we've all eaten off that tree, and mankind as a whole continues to invent genocide. And he has used every weapon he's ever created. When has the genie ever gone back in the bottle? What's going to happen in the tribulation? This all-out crazy, insane war. And who stops it eventually? Christ, for the elect's sake. Now, if it was God starting it, then you can go to the Greek Zeus sitting there, and Hercules and Jason and the Argonauts, and he's throwing big old lightning bolts. But it isn't like that. God is love. He loves mankind. But this system that man has become genocidal. It will become the island of Dr. Moreau. It will become the Nephilim. They will take pig guts and the DNA and put it into a brain if they can do it. They will relate animals with men. They will create satyrs. They will create the Nephilim of Genesis 6:2, where the angels went in to the women and there were giants on the earth. And when Israel came into the land, they had to fight many of these giants because they got through Canaan's seed in the flood and they were still there in Canaan land. And when Israel came in to come into the land, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants. I told that to a preacher a while back here. He said, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, who's Goliath? Take a look at his seed. He comes directly from the Nephilim. Well, he's just a big guy. No, he's not just a big basketball player. He wasn't just 7 feet tall. He was watered down with genes from people for a long, long time. And he was still going on 10 feet. Some of these Nephilim were huge. And what will men do? What are they doing with DNA right now? What are they doing with what are they doing with crops? We can't even get labeling on fruits. We can't even go to a grocery store to figure out which is being spliced and not from genes. From things going in to the seed. What are we going to do? You think someone's not going to sit there? When before Stalin died, one of the things he did, he wanted to go into an area where a hydrogen bomb went in, and he wanted to send an army in so that he could find out how many Russian soldiers would die within the first hour or so to find out how he could fight the West. Do you think that some of these idiots would not use a clone army if they could? Do you think that some of these dictators and totalitarian people would not take something that they could get from other animals and splice it in genes so that they could get a stronger, mindless drone army? They would do it in a minute. And we're in those days where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is beyond our comprehension. And God is saying, it's got to stop. This is it. When Israel comes in, you're going to have a while. He's going to bring them back. Right now, within the last year, Israel finally reached a population greater than when the Holocaust started. That's how many Hitler killed. They finally reached that population. Israel's there calling back, come from the nations. Come back to your own land. And here we are in the middle of all this, this modern era. And we're going to see it. Heart transplants from other animals, all kinds of things, biogenetics, plant things coming in way beyond a stainless steel or a titanium, a brain chip where you can get more intelligence plugged in. You don't think that that's around the corner? If we knew what was on the books right now, what they scientifically can do, computers. My first computer was 1 little megabyte, and I thought it was huge. Right now, it's terabytes, and terabytes are going to slowly but surely become nothing as they get more and more and more. So they're able to figure out more and more and more. Okay, well, we've got a lung here, and it's part human, and it's part platypus, and it's they don't think twice about that. We would end up a changed species. We wouldn't even be in the image of God. And beyond that, nuclear weapons, beyond that, global warming and ice melting and all of the problems. I just put an article on Facebook yesterday and all kinds of Republicans fight me over it. They're predicting that within the next few years, the population of birds in the United States will be less than half. Will be less than half. And there are people that deny that we're supposed to be tenderers of the garden. Don't eat the fish! Don't eat it! Nice and cat. Don't eat it! We're not tenders of the garden anymore. What are we? Just destroyers, users, greedy. And we harvested from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tribulation is a justified period, a totalitarianism, a 1984, a brave new world. A science gone insane that's come under totalitarian governments to be used not for the benefit of man, but the benefit of oligarchies and power. And God is the one that's going to stop it, because if he didn't stop it, it would destroy all flesh and most of the animal kingdoms Amen. With it. Because what I'm trying to teach on tonight is, don't you dare look at Jesus Christ like he's a big ogre. Don't you sit there and think that he's the big meanie bringing this tribulation period. I'm telling you right now, what did he do to the Tower of Babel? Mm-hmm. Took their tongues and made them talk other languages. Why? Confusing. Because they would destroy themselves. And right now, what are we doing? Worldism, globalism, we're unifying. And we're no closer to peace. And what kind of peace would it be? Someone way on top and someone way on the bottom. Someone ground under the heel and somebody living like Lucifer himself. Mm-hmm. That's all Lucifer is. There's no freedom in the devil. He's death. Mm-hmm. There's freedom in Christ, and he's life. Okay, these last three feast days. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest. A sacred assembly concentrated with trumpet blasts. That's the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus 23. We know what trumpets is. Blows the trumpet. Then Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain. Church age is over with. Now, Revelation 4, we're in heaven. The books are opened. Christ opens the book and the seals of the book are opened. The white horse rides. The red horse rides. The black horse, which is famine, rides. And then the pale horse, which has hell with it. All of the fallout, the nuclear fallout, all the nuclear weapons that ended up in the ocean, all the defense mechanisms that stopped certain bombs, the tsunamis, the roaring of the sea, the scripture says. One third of the light. Go down to Arizona and the sun looks red because it's got dust at certain times of the year. When John looked out on Patmos and he looked out and he seen the sun's darkened one third, he was talking in his own idiom, his own language. So much debris in the air and so much carbon and so much junk that one third of the light is only given during the tribulation period. The scripture says that's how bad the wars and the earthquakes, and then with it, all the crops failing, all the famine, all the destitution, mm-hmm. and the end of democracy. Mm-hmm. And no man will buy or sell save he that has the mark of the beast. 666. That's what we are coming to. And you will be there, I will be there, our children will be there if we don't hear the trumpet. And if we can't get on our knees and pray on a daily basis, how in the world are you going to hear a trumpet from heaven that calls your soul to a place beyond this world to be a part of the church that is meant to escape this time period? And we want to be with Christ. Now, the next feast day is the Day of Atonement. That we're talking with the last three feast days. We know it says the day of, the Lord said to Moses, the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. And on this day, we know that it was the only time that the ark was opened up, that the high priest went into the ark and he put the blood. He made sacrifice for all the people of Israel, right? Okay, we have to understand then, after the Day of Atonement, there's a few days later, because these feast days clump together within a couple of weeks. We see in verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites on the 15th day of the 7th month, because all these take place on the 7th month, which is September, October on the Jewish calendar. You know, you ever hear the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and you see the skull caps and you hear people talking? You know, we celebrate Easter, and we call it Easter. It's no Easter. There isn't no Easter bunny in the scriptures, I already tell you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But we sit there and we know what the Passover is. We know what's Christ died on the cross, and we don't celebrate it ever again because he died once. But these haven't come to pass yet because God's going to bring in all this righteousness. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles that takes place on the 15th day of the 7th month in verse 33. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord. We know this is a time they made booths. We know that this is the millennial. This is when Solomon brought and dedicated the temple. We know that this is the time, finally, when the great temple will be built in Jerusalem. The 37-acre area is destroyed by an earthquake at Armageddon when Christ comes. There is no temple mount like there is today. That's all gone. The new temple is like 7 times the size of that. That's how huge it is. The entire area, the topography has been changed. We know that the Red Sea will, I should say that the Dead Sea will relate with the Mediterranean, and that under the waters of this new temple, the Mediterranean will flow into the Dead Sea, and there will be a great fishery right down there in the Dead Sea. I was right there and once seen it. I didn't see the fishery, but I knew that was the exact area the scripture said that the sea would come through, the Mediterranean would come through. So God makes a great fishery and he builds this new temple. And it's absolutely huge. And it will be the millennial temple. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. When the walls come tumbling down. When the walls come tumbling down. When the world is changed and the world gets ready for a new era. When the animals are free. And when the lion can lay down with the lamb. And when they'll be led by a child. And when there'll be peace and joy and righteousness from shore to shore. And the Bible said they will take their weapons of war and turn them into pruning hooks. They will take all the budgets that are used for weapons and take it and use it for agriculture to make the entire world have a great time of peace. Now, this is the important one. In Leviticus 25, there was another feast added. It says here in verse 1 in Leviticus 25, the Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, this land itself must observe a Sabbath. Every 7 years there was a Sabbath of the land where no one could grow. The land had to rest so it would give forth its fruit. Then God went further than that. And he says, verse 8, count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7, so that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sound everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land of all its inhabitants. What happens on the 50th year? Every Israelite that sold its land, if Bill, if you sold your land, 50 years later, you got it back. And if I was trying to collect all that land, I had to go give it back to your grandkids if you were dead and one of your sons was dead. I had to give it back. So no corporation could ever amass land. No oligarchy could come or family could come and make the land theirs. It always had to be distributed amongst the people. This land Sabbath in the Great Tribulation is when God takes the land back from the devil and gives the land back to all the people of the world. And the Apache. I just got through seeing a great special on Geronimo, and I cried like a baby how much they lied to him. They took millions of acres of Apache land for nothing because there was a few mines that they thought could be made and they could get some silver and gold. And Geronimo rebelled and killed people on that land, said, this is our land. We've had it over 1,000 years. And they show these soldiers trying to chase him. And I'll tell you, I sat there and I went, that's the side I'm on. That's the side I'm on. I want the buffalo back. I want every tribe on the planet to have its land back. I don't want it in the hands of the filthy rich. I don't want it in the hands of oligarchies. I don't want it in the hands of phony governments that use their power to serve wealth. I want it in the hands of the people And I just sat there at the end and I thought, oh, Geronimo, someday you're going to know that Jesus Christ himself is going to bring the land back to every tribe and kindred. And everyone is going to have a freedom again where they belong. And it's going to be a jubilee. And it happens in the second part of the tribulation period. So the tribulation is mercy. Somebody has got to take the strong man and take him down. Okay, it's important to understand this. Luke 44, verses 5 through 8. Michelle, you read that for us. Luke 4, verses 5 through 8. Chris, you got Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. David, you got Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54. Listen to these words.
The devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in the moment of time. The devil told him, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and the authority over them, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give all to you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.
So Jesus Christ defeated him in the wilderness. But what did he say to Jesus? All this is given unto me. He took him to a huge high place and showed him some of the Roman Empire. All this is given unto me. Did Jesus say no? Whose world is it right now?
Satan.
Who has the deeds? Who can take it away from Geronimo and the Apache and the Comanche and take away your house for medical bills? Who can do all these kinds of things? Who really is the one that does it?
Satan.
The devil. Because it's his game, his greed. Mm-hmm. It's not, the world is not the kingdom of Christ right now. The kingdom of Christ is in our hearts. The called out ones come to Christ. And these political Christians who think that they can make the world into righteousness by the law are absolutely crazy mm-hmm. and heading for complete disillusionment. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Republican or Democratic or socialist or whatever, the reality is who they're going to meet. Lucifer. Who has the keys there? What did Jesus say? What did the Lord say? Of all the trees you can eat, but don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Who did we eat off of? Mankind ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And who are we in covenant with? All this is given unto me if you bow down and worship me. The tribulation takes away all this power. And the jubilee that happens on the Day of Atonement, the sixth feast day that sounds the trumpet, says, the land is being given back to the people.
Amen.
And in the Great Tribulation, it's every tribe and kindred, all these Aborigines. How many churches do you go to where you see American Indians sitting there with headdresses and broken and depressed, and they've been the most alcoholic group? How many white Calvinist churches do we see anybody in except the white? And, you know, maybe a few token blacks it's ridiculous what we got going here for most of our Christianity. It's a joke. The Norwegian Jesus with the blue eyes taking the little lamb and bringing it home. There's no Apache. There's no Comanche. There's no little people and ugly Aborigines with noses that are huge and all the rest of it. And who does God love? Everyone. Christ loves everyone. Okay, next. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3.
Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and locked and sealed it over him, so that he would deceive the nations no more.
Praise God.
Amen.
He's bound in the millennial period, yep. The seventh day, the seventh era, 777. Christ takes it away, finally. He defeated him in the wilderness so he could have his church come forth from his blood and he could call all men to his mercy. But he didn't take the land, so Lucifer and a third of the angels are here. But now he takes it back. Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The way the Lord does it? Okay, next here, David, you've got Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54.
Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many.
That's good, David. Thank you. Here, when Christ dies, gives up the ghost, the temple is open. Remember only once a year that the ark was seen, could be seen? He split the temple.
He rent the veil.
So right there, the Holy of Holies is open, right? Now, what did the Jews do? They took the temple, they repaired the veil, shut up about it, and went on until it was destroyed again in 70 AD. But now, in the Great Tribulation, they're going to have their Day of Atonement. And I'll read it. Revelation 11, verse 19. Listen to this closely. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, earthquakes, and a severe hailstorm. Why is the Ark in heaven? Because Christ is in heaven. Because when Christ died on Calvary, the natural temple veil was rent. But now it's in the tribulation period. And here comes the Ark. And the only time the Ark is ever seen, ever, is on the Day of Atonement. This brings in the Day of Atonement in Revelation 11. And how can the Ark be on earth? It can't be. Because who's in heaven? Our Messiah has been glorified. And he is the Ark of Covenant. When he died on Calvary and shed his last drop of blood, that temple veil was rent.
Amen.
And saints came out of the graves, just like we're going to come out of the graves. I went to the tomb when I was in the valley of Jehoshaphat, of Zechariah, in Malachi. I went to their very tomb and went in, and you can feel the holiness. And I believe that there's some of the people that got up out of those graves and walked into that city. Right? Now, when the Jews see it again, because remember what the Lord said, they won't see me until they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now, when you look in Revelation here, what do they say? Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And they understand that the Ark of Covenant is in heaven. And they're going through their Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, the trumpets blew because it's the Jubilee. And the land is given back to the people. It's taken from the devil. It's taken from the evil one. So that all men are not under this ungodly, unfair, unrighteous system. That's tonight's study right now. I've gone close to an hour. You can ask some questions afterwards, but it's important you understand. Don't let anybody ever tell you your God likes to hate people, hates gays, and he hates this, and he hates that. Christ doesn't hate anybody. And even the Great Tribulation period is merciful. And it's God having to take away and tear everything out of the devil's hands. Right now, the scripture says Satan's coming down in great number. Remember there were dumb demons that couldn't even talk in the book, in the Gospels? They're coming, whether it's they were on other planets or whatever parts of the universe or dimensions they're in, they're coming into the war. The cities are getting darker. The times are getting darker. And we can shine like lights to a lost generation and let men know Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. And no man enters in to heaven, to God, through any other means except him. He is that great, fantastic Messiah. And he's going to open up the Jews' eyes in this great tribulation. And they're going to see him who they pierced. They're going to see that Ark of Covenant. They're going to understand that he's glorified, that he's always been their Messiah. Him that they pierced, because the Ark couldn't have opened up until after he died. So they have to see him pierced, because that's when their temple that was rent. And then on purpose, it showed the power. People coming out of their graves from that Old Testament prophets going into the city and talking to people, right? Because it was Christ in his resurrection. And what do those Jews do? Sealed up that curtain as quick as they could. And in 70 AD, it was destroyed. But they're going to see it again. They're going to see it again. But this time, they're going to see it with the glorified Christ. Whose father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.